Hi, I'm Al Farabee, and this is a special collection of highlighted moments from our 60th anniversary broadcast on CFAX 1070 that we originally aired live in September. It was September of 1959 that CFAX 1070 first hit the airwaves here in Victoria. This year, we dedicated a day of programming to look back at our radio station's long history, and here are some of the memorable moments. We'll start with the morning show. I've had the privilege of hosting it for over 20 years, but we started our 60th anniversary broadcast with two men we used to wake up with, Barry Bowman and Drew Snyder. Somebody had to. Do you remember those?
How long has
AM Stereo?
How long ago was that? Holy smokes.
1980 something, maybe even late 70s, something like that. So.
Oh, God. That was supposed to be the future, Al.
I know it was. I remember that. Much touted AM Stereo. This is it. And I don't even know if anybody has an AM Stereo anymore.
I remember the demonstration thing that we had at the shopping center where you put your head in this box and you had two speakers on one side and we were demonstrating how AM stereo is supposed to sound.
That's so good. Let me introduce our guest. If you're listening this morning, this is a special day here on CFAX 1070. We're celebrating our 60th anniversary.
60 years.
Here at, you're hearing the voice of the morning mayor, Barry Bowman. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Good. I'm enjoying this coffee for a change. Back in the day, that funky coffee that we used to drink in the mornings was... You're going to stand up in its cup here, but this is very nice coffee. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And it's free, so.
Well, I like that part, too.
That's it. Let's introduce our other guest. Drew Snyder is joining us here. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well.
Good.
Remarkably well, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I introduced you as, and maybe it needs a story behind it, when you used to be called Stump the News Guy.
Stump.
That's
you're
right.
Stump, yeah.
He was Stump, yeah.
Everybody thought his name was Stump.
Well, every
that's
morning,
true. And this was Barry's idea. In 1989, I think he came up with, as I recall, you kind of were short for time.
Well,
and you said you want to come in and play Stump the News Guy.
Well, the days of rip and read when you go to the newsroom and you find all this stuff to talk about, oddities in the news and so on. There was this thing called Today in History.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it was just a series of dates and telling you things that were associated with that date, which is totally boring. So I thought, maybe if I got Snyder here, who was on Reach for the Top when he was 4 years old, he didn't know that. Well, maybe
I didn't know that.
Young man.
Well, 16. Okay.
One of the great savants, I suppose you might say, of broadcasting, who was actually on something that was a legitimately intelligent form of media.
Yes.
Could answer these questions out of the blue. So I thought, this is going to be a great test. And it went on to, what, five, 6 years?
Several years, yeah.
We actually sponsored it. Never saw any money. The sales guys got that. But we didn't see any money. We just had fun.
Yeah, and it was fun. You know, and we had, I mean, there was at least one cabinet minister who told me he set his clock radio for 6:50.
Yes.
Which was when Stump the News Guy came on every morning. And so,
yeah.
Yeah, people were tuned into it, and we'd have the home audience questions, so people would then call in, and we had some kind of a Verschlugener prize for them, like a, I don't know, free ball bearings or baby carriage or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
It was fun. It was good, yeah.
It was fun.
Drew, give me some of your memories of working for CFAX and some things that, I know, it's tough to sort of put you on the spot. Can you think of one or two?
13 years, yeah.
But, I mean, some of the things, because you were with CFAX for... How long?
13 years.
Yeah.
Late 88 until late 01.
In a variety
and
of
then,
capacities.
Yeah, you know, to, well, sportscaster, newscaster, traffic guy, fill-in talk show host, where I learned that the credo of the talk show host is every person is entitled to my opinion.
That's correct.
But there were some great memories. You get to do a lot of cool things when you're in radio like that. Commonwealth Games comes back to mind.
Yeah.
Because we had, you know, that great moment when the Irish team doctor came up and sang Danny Boy when the Irish boxer won the gold medal.
That's it.
And so, you know, you're there interviewing Dame Kiri Takanawa. That was a biggie. You get to see all sorts of cool things. I just remembered
we were watching. Even pronouncing it was a big deal.
Well, she helped me with that one. You know, it's not Takanawa.
I know. You look at the word and you go, holy smokes, how do you pronounce that?
Yeah. That's good.
But yeah, so it's hard to pick out a single big memory, but there was just a lot of hard work. Had a lot of fun once we got on the air, especially on that morning show thing.
Yeah,
It was good.
Well, if a morning show isn't fun, Drew, then what's the use?
You can hear the radio switching off if it's not. It's that simple. Yeah.
Now, for listeners that don't remember, I mean, Barry, you did this show for
29 years.
Yes, and you were dominant in this marketplace, a guy that would get a 30 share. So you were the morning mayor for a number of years.
Well, I'll tell you how the morning mayor started. I'm trying to remember the year. Mike Young, who was running for mayor that year, out there campaigning, and I thought, well, somehow maybe there should be something we can tie into the election when we talk about it each time. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go out and I'm going to run for the mayor of the morning. So we got the girls with the signs, and I was out there kissing babies, and I was shaking hands and doing the whole thing. And then, of course, I announced my victory on the next morning, the Monday after the election. Yeah. Was, thank you very much for all my supporters. Sort of like some third world dictator, sort of, you know, saying that I've now declared myself the mayor of the morning. And I took care of those mornings because I was, my constituents, you know, needed to make sure
that was it.
Every day I had to make sure. Now, after 9 o'clock, they were on their own. But
yeah,
that was my duty was after that.
That's it. I got a note here this week from, and you guys would know this name, Pam Middleton.
Ah.
Promotions director.
Lovely lady.
From about 69 to 80, I believe.
Yeah.
And she said, so she, of course, many members, she goes, I know you were talking about having a Barry on the show with Drew Snyder. Do you recall, and I'll hand this over to you.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Do you remember one of those? That was like the original shirt.
There it is.
The morning mayor.
Oh, my God.
How did
there.
You pull that? Where did you get that from?
From Pam. She dropped it off this week.
My God, this has got to go into the Museum of Natural History.
I think so. It's for those on radio, it says the T-shirt says Barry Bowman for Morning Mayor. And I guess that was like the thing. You got people to wear those.
Yeah.
And these are classy. This is like kind of felt. And Wake Up Victoria on the other side. But it's yellow with this red felt lettering. Mm-hmm. So it's not silk screened or anything like that.
Now, you mentioned for people who are on radio who can't see this, there are people who can actually see you, though. Can they actually?
They can actually.
I've been watching you for years doing this, and it's a secret that not too many people know that Al has no pants on at this point. He's sitting behind the counter here, and nobody understands that when he comes to work, he doesn't have to wear his jammies are still on. And he just puts the suit and tie on. And,
that's correct.
Yeah, who knows?
I'm sorry I blew your secret there, man.
Sorry about that. This is Barry Bowman, Drew Snyder. This is our CFAX 60th anniversary special. They're going to hang out here for the next little while and probably take over, which is fine by
coffee.
Us.
Coffee!
You're listening to highlights of the 60th anniversary broadcast, and coming up more from Barry and Drew. CFAX 1070 turns 60 years old this year, and we're revisiting our special anniversary broadcast. I'm Al Farabee. During that 60th broadcast, I interviewed former morning show host Barry Bowman, who was morning show host for 29 years. He was joined by former morning show news guy Drew Snyder, and here's some of that conversation. This is Barry Bowman.
Hello, Al.
And Drew Snyder joining us here on our 60th anniversary here at CFAX 1070. We were talking in the break about a gentleman you both worked with for a long period of time, Ken the Dauber Dobson.
Yes.
Dauber.
Yeah. And hey, let me just play. This is a little sampling because there's people out there that maybe have never heard what the Dauber is all about. This is, I believe, yes, this is Ken the Dauber Dobson from, I'm not sure what the date is, but here it is.
Action continues tonight at McKinnon Gym and in university basketball. The women's game is scheduled for this evening at 7 between the Victoria Viquettes and the Calgary Dinnies. because the Calgary team has transportation problems. The two teams will play the first game in the three-game series tomorrow at 7:45. The second game, Barry, don't make me laugh. The second game Sunday at 2, and a third game, if necessary, on Monday.
Now for Vancouver Island's original Volkswagen dealership. It's so you're thinking all your
stuff. Oh, that's funny.
That's it, right? So that's a little sampling of what he was all about.
Dauber really had difficulty sometimes pronouncing things. I have to tell you a very quick story.
Yeah.
The very year that he started with us at CFAX, he came out of Montreal, and he was the morning guy on Montreal radio station. He came out to do sports, as you know, here in Victoria. And, of course, as a sports guy, he loved baseball. And so I said, Dauber, you know, you're here in Victoria. What would you be doing in Montreal right about now? And he says, well, he loved his beer and he loved peanuts. He said, well, Bear, he said, I'd probably be sitting there in Jerry Park watching the Expos and their first season with my beer in one hand and my penis in the other. And I said, what? He says, with my beer in one hand and my penis in the other. He says, and I started to laugh, and he got very upset. And as we went, I went straight to music. I couldn't handle it. He comes bursting through the control room door. He says, what the hell's the matter with you? What are you laughing about? I said, Dauber, you didn't hear what you said. And he says, no, I didn't say that. And the phone lines were just going crazy.
Like they are now?
Yeah. God,
man.
Love,
oh, dear.
I miss him.
Yeah. We all do. Yeah. I mean, he was so iconic, just like you gentlemen were. So
iconic is iconic. Another word. Yeah.
Isn't that funny word to use?
That's actually a word I'm trying to get out of the English language, icon, and any of its derivatives. Yeah. I once heard a newscaster not too long ago refer to one of Vancouver's most iconic icons. And at that point, I'm going, and how much were they getting?
Yeah. Or you get this one, legendary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind legendary.
That's you're good with
you
that?
You can call me legendary if you want. Sure, I'll take it.
All right.
A legendary icon.
That's what it is.
Great. Now it's started.
Yeah. There you go. So, what do you got? You guys are both still around town, for people that don't know, right? Like you guys,
we're both still around.
We're still alive.
You've stayed here and called this place home.
Where else would you want to be?
Well, I think there's that, isn't there?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. That this is just a place that was, it's like Hotel California. Check out anytime you like. You can never leave.
Never leave. That's right.
Don't say check out. I'm 75 years old. You don't use words like that. Don't say check out.
That's it. How much do you miss this?
A lot.
Well, we were just saying during the break, you know, how once a broadcaster, always a broadcaster, and you put these headphones on and you're suddenly back there doing the things that you were doing.
And the microphone's in front of your mouth and all of a sudden you're talking like this.
The voices go down.
Good evening. Good morning, everybody.
I heard that in both of you just as soon as the mic went on.
You guys were on.
Yeah.
Just asking what time it is. You know, 6:55 on the West Coast.
And you have to give a forecast with it when somebody asks you the time. Of course, you got to do that as well and do a station break and
all that. Yeah.
It all comes in.
And if somebody actually doesn't know you used to be in broadcasting, they'll be going, what is this?
Yeah. Were you somebody? I recognize your voice. Who are you? Drew Snyder?
Do you get that?
All the time.
Yeah.
They think I'm Barry Kennard.
Who is still around too?
Yes, absolutely. We see Barry all the time.
Well, we thought because I mean he was afternoon guy for a number of years.
As a matter of fact, when he came out, he was 18 years old when he started on CFAX, and I came in and I did mornings, and Barry did the afternoon drive, and after that it was just music back to back, and we were the only two personalities on CFAX back in the day and last century when we first started.
That's it for sure. final moments with you both. So why don't I go to Drew just because this is. I mean, this is a day that that we love, and I think our listeners, from the feedback we're getting already, they're loving hearing you guys here again. So,
what do you
want to say to everybody today?
Support Vikes basketball. There's a good start.
Because that's part of what you do, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And just. What are you asking for? Sage words of wisdom or something like that?
Not from me.
Yeah. You know, like wet boy never flies at night. You know, I don't know. just enjoy the fact that we're living in this place. We're in a very blessed area. And as we live in an area like this, remember there are others who are not quite so blessed, either in our backyard or in other parts of the world. Spare some thoughts for them. Spare some time for the people, especially people, you know, down here. Mm-hmm. Spend some time. Say hi. Give them a sandwich. You know, just let them know that they're not forgotten. That's one of the worst things that can happen is for people to feel like they're forgotten.
Yeah.
We're not cared about.
Barry?
I'm supposed to follow that. Ooh.
I know.
Old Something broadcasters, funny, please.
Old broadcasters never die. They just lose their frequency.
Oh, dear.
Bye.
Now, since we're talking about morning show hosts, let's bring up the man who hosted the CFAX 1070 morning show in between Barry Bowman and myself. That's Steve Ivings, known for many years at CFAX 1070 for all his impressions.
Yes, unfortunately, all the people I do are no longer with us. That's the problem. I think, Michael Caine's still around. Well, I could, you know, if you really wanted me to. If you wanted, like, you could say, okay, Michael Caine's here to say CFAX is great. You know, I knew Mel Cooper when he was young.
That was a long time ago.
By the way, Trump moved in here a little earlier. He was here.
Well, let me just say this, and I mean this seriously. Mel Cooper, I love your hair color, by the way. I came in here because I love CFAX. And of course, CFAX loves me because, you know, I'm the greatest president we've ever had.
Ivings talked about his long history at CFAX that includes the time that one of the CFAX 1070 original owners, Claire Copeland, sold the station to Mel Cooper, and the time that he hosted the morning show.
Barry Bowman did it for a long time. Then I came along and did it for 2 years, and then Al's did it after that and still doing it. I sort of think of myself as the George Lazenby, who did the one Wayne Connery and Roger Moore. I'm the George Lazenby for the 2 years there. But, yeah, it was great, and I enjoyed doing it. And I had been with CFAX many times before. Mel has fired me many times. I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
I thought about it.
Yeah, I did. Yes. I know. We discussed it a few times. But I was actually working for CFAX back when I was in high school. And I would do little bits with Barry Bowman in the morning. It would be Jimmy Stewart's birthday, and he'd call up and go, "Jimmy, how are you?" "Well, I'm fine, and I'm celebrating my birthday." And, you know, and we'd do these things over the phone. And then when I got out of high school, Keith Dagg, who was on this morning, he hired me to become an operator. And so I've been with CFAX off and on many, many, many times. I was there. I was working for the station when Mel bought it. And he took over. I had worked for Claire Copeland. I was, I think I was in the promotion department at that point.
Yeah.
And Mel took over the station. And at that point, we were just playing the morning show and the afternoon show, and the rest of it was all pre-recorded. And Mel came in and said, "Well, we're going to change all that. We're going to make this a live radio station," and really made it a community radio station, because during the day then we could go out and talk to people, do on-air location sort of things. It really changed, and it was vibrant. Not that there's anything wrong with what Claire was doing. Claire had a great radio station. It was by far the best in town. But Mel came in and just turned this into a great radio station that touched the people out there, you know? I mean, you could tell just by people who listened, the phone calls we got in really made a big difference. And we, the staff, loved him, too, because, you know, if there was somebody's birthday, we got a party.
To stay informed, stay tuned to CFAX 1070. Victoria's News Authority.
It's 2 a.m., 9 degrees in Victoria, clear sky, quite a nip in the air. Good morning. I'm Alan Perry, and this is the CFAX 2 o'clock report. As a result of further discussion late yesterday evening, it has been decided by all parties in the local police dispute that the matter will be referred to binding arbitration from an arbitrator to be appointed by Labor Minister Bill King. This agreement has been confirmed by the police board, police council, and the union. A private conversation between Patricia Hearst and a childhood girlfriend reveals that Miss Hearst feels her new role as a revolutionary feminist will make her defense difficult. Meanwhile, at least one lawyer has said introduction of tapes of that conversation in court would be a violation of the defendant's right to privacy. The transcript of the conversation was supplied to psychiatrists to aid in their examination of Miss Hearst. Anthropologist Margaret Mead claims that in reference to recent U.S. presidential assassination attempts, often would-be assassins are misfits trying to make their marks in life.
If you have the hope of making it any other way, you can try to kill a president.
Let's go to the Oasis. That's a familiar saying with Victorians who like good things to eat. The Oasis out on Jubilee Corner makes a specialty of new and interesting treats. They have electro-fried fish and chips to take out, just 20 cents an order. And are they delicious? The people at the Oasis take special care to wrap these fish and chips well to protect your car upholstery and your clothes. You can phone in your order to Garden 0005.
One of the fun parts of the anniversary broadcast was going back into the audio archive. We'll get to lots of those in this highlight episode like this one.
Once every 4 years, the people of the Commonwealth have come together for the joys of friendly competition, for the honor of their countries, and for the love of the games.
Yeah, my name's Andy Littler. I'm from Manchester, Northern England, here to take part in the weightlifting competition. It's very well organised there, and it's good to be here.
Right, my name's Andrew LaRouche. I've been running the 5,000. I'm from Malawi, and I guess the thing I notice most is the friendliness of the people here.
My name's Paul Shepherd. I'm a sports boxing. and I'm from Scotland, from Edinburgh in Scotland. And thoughts on the games are, I'm going to get a gold medal.
From all of us here at CFAX Radio, welcome to the 15th Commonwealth Games, and welcome to our island home.
We're looking back on 60 years of this radio station and replaying highlights from this year's anniversary broadcast, with more to come. Hey, everybody, I'm Al Farabi. We're listening to highlight moments of our CFAX 1070 60th anniversary broadcast, originally aired live in September of 2019. CFAX 1070's Adam Sterling talked to two of the men who, back in the station's early days, helped make CFAX 1070 what it is today, Mel Cooper and Keith Dagg. They discussed those early days and shared stories of the late, great Joe Easingwood.
I still love hearing that intro. It brings back so many great memories with Joe Easingwood. We have a number of guests joining us at our ground floor studio at 1420 Broad Street. I didn't start my job, though, at 1420 Broad Street. I started my job back on Broughton Street, one of the number of areas that the CFAX studios have lived in over the years. Here to talk more about how this great station came to be is, if I was to name two people who had more to do than anybody else about getting things started, getting things going, establishing the foundation that we would eventually build upon in this great institution that is CFAX Radio, Mel Cooper, former owner and president, CFAX 1070. Mel, great to see you. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous. Oh,
Keith Dagg's also joining us in the studio. Keith, great to see you.
Yeah,
how have you been?
I've been great. Yep.
So who wants to tell the story of how it all began? Who wants to set this up for us? Once upon a time, there was a man with an idea. Was that you?
Well, in 1965, Claire Copeland, of course, had just bought CFAX, and he called on me one day to sell me advertising. I was manager of Imperial Oil.
Yeah.
And 10 hours later, I quit my job and went to work for him as a shareholder in CFAX. And I went over, and I always remember going home and telling my wife what I was going to do. And she said, "You're going to do what?" And I said, "I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to invest in CFAX." And she said, "I've never heard of it." And I said, "Well, I hadn't either." But she said, "Well, how could you do that? Like, how much are you going to make?" And I said, "I never asked." But anyway, Claire was the greatest salesman in the world, and it was one of the great things we did. We started in 65, and I was there for a long time. It was wonderful.
What was it about that prospect that just caught your attention? Because not everybody will quit their job and invest without actually asking how much money they're going to make.
Well, you know, I was always interested in media. I wrote for a newspaper in Vancouver when I was growing up, and I was on the CBC as a kid, and radio always excited me, and Claire was a great salesman.
Yeah.
When he started telling me how good we were going to be, and Imperial Oil was going to transfer me to Toronto, and I was 27 years old, and I didn't want to leave Victoria, and I went, you know, I'm going to give this a whirl, and sure glad I did, but they were really tough days.
So who was it that got Mel involved in all this? Was that you?
Well, no, Mel and I became partners, and he was running CKNW, and yeah, I was running CFAX, and when Claire decided he wanted to sell, I said, you know, what I need to do is I need to be partners with Mel. So I phoned up Mel and said, how would you like to buy Claire out? And he said, that sounds great. So
I always wonder what the calls are actually like when a huge decision gets made. That will be the start. Is it like, hey, do you want to buy this? Yeah, sure, why not? Like, what actually goes into a process like that?
Well, you know, I knew, because I had a radio rep company.
Yes.
The company, Seacoast Communications, and we had CFAX as one of our clients.
Yes.
We provided services to CFAX. So I'd come over and visit, and I always loved Victoria. When I came here, I actually said to Carmelo, my wife, I feel something, I don't know what it is, but there's something about Victoria that hits me, and I leave saying, I feel like I should be there.
Yeah. Talking about where the station has gone over the years, one of the things that has stayed true, the keel, if you will, that keeps the ship steady regardless of which direction it might be going in, is the service that we do to the community. Santa's Anonymous, of course, being a big part of that. You right now are wearing your Santa's Anonymous name tag as your honorary board member, Mel.
Right. Well, you know, I happen to come out of radio that helped people.
Yeah.
I was at CKNW for years, and we were doing projects constantly to help community matters. And so I did that automatically when I came to Victoria. And no doubt the station has built itself. And that was my hope and plan, and as to be an important servant to the audience.
Yeah. And that's what I had taught to me when I first started, by Terry Spence, by Joe Easingwood, by those who were in charge then. And it's that chain. It's carrying it on. That's what makes it all work.
We've lost, of course, Joe. And I think that without any detail, because it's not really fair to his wife, Tula, but Terry is not well. Mm. And we're sad about that. He's going through a health issue. And you know, he did a great job for the radio station. I hired him from the CKNW Investigators when I put that programming on CFAX, CKNW, and Terry came over.
He's a sharp guy.
Oh, sharp guy. I'll tell
I couldn't get anything past him. I try sometimes, but I couldn't get anything past him.
Yeah, no, he was good.
All right. Let's
still is.
Have I ever told you guys the story of one of my first days working with Joe Easingwood? And how I thought I was fired? I've never told this story publicly. It's going to be, don't worry, folks, there's a happy ending, as I'm sure you can imagine. But it was, it sort of became that representative interaction that was one of the things that working with Joe is always thrilling, usually fun, but sometimes a little terrifying for a new guy like me. This is nervous Adam trying to prove himself, afraid that I'm going to make a mistake, afraid that Joe Easingwood, who I've listened to, who I've like looked up to for so many years, is going to think I'm some idiot. So I'm really careful. You know, everything's fine. It's like getting all the news stories together, getting all the prep together. Remember Joe? He had that book with all of his guest names and phone numbers in it, and he wouldn't let other people look at it. He wouldn't give me the book because I guess there were secrets in there or something. He would open it up and he'd read you the phone number, and you had to write it down separately. So we're getting ready for the show. We've got the phone numbers for the guest. And because there was some sort of a breaking news situation or something changed, we had a change in the format. So Joe would use the squawk box between the studio and the operating booth that I was in. And he goes, take down this number. And I hear it coming back. I'm like, okay, I can do this. I had just been writing some stuff down. I was ready to go. Everything was going. And I look down and I reach down and the pen is gone. It's not just misplaced. It's gone.
Gone.
I just had it 30 seconds ago. What had happened is it had rolled under the keyboard. So I'm checking the floor. It's not there. Check the table. It's not there. The pen's not there. And I'm thinking, this is a nightmare. I have to write down this number right now. We're close there. I don't have the pen. And I look back and I go, I can't find the pen. And he goes, what do you mean you can't find the pen? I said, I don't know. It was just here and it's gone. And he looks at me and he goes, well, why don't you let me know when you're ready to do your job? And he got up and he stormed out of the studio like at like 10 minutes to air. And I'm sitting there by myself. I go, okay, is he coming back? Like, what's happening? Like, I don't. And then, of course, I found the pen under the keyboard. And Joe came and he goes, did you find your pen? And of course, he says it in such a way that it's like, yes, I'm so sorry this happened. But in that moment where I couldn't find the pen, and Joe, who I've looked up to forever, says, why don't you let me know when you're ready to do your job? And gets up and walks out of the room. In that moment, I thought, I am so fired. This is it. This is going to be the end. It's my first day, and I'm never going to come back, and everything's going to go wrong. I'm like, no, just put it out of your head. Keep going. And you know, the great thing about Joe is that when the show started, he goes, you got your pen? I said, yeah. He goes, all right, good job. You're doing a good job. And he said, keep it up. Because that was the thing about Joe, right? He'd give somebody the gears, but there was always that arm around them at the end. Like, oh, come on, it's okay, it's okay. And in that moment, I sort of got a 30-second or several-minute glimpse
at who Joe was. He was gruff sometimes. He was brazen sometimes. He would say things where to get a laugh or because it needed to be said. A lot of people would find offensive. But he always found a way to make it okay in the end. He always found a way to make sure everybody knew that it's all right. It's just words. Everything's fine. We're all doing our best. We're all in this together. We're all on the same team, and pulling together will make it work. And that was my first day at CFAX where I thought I was fired because I had lost my pen somehow.
Well, you weren't fired, and thank goodness.
Not yet, at least.
Joe, I hired Joe from CJVI.
Oh, yeah.
Which existed at that time. And I hired him and said to myself, I'm lucky to get this guy. But he had to keep it quiet, you know, tell his boss. Yeah. In the meantime, he said to me, by the way, would you like to have a really good news guy, too? I said, why? He said, I've got one of the news guys here, Ed McKenzie, wonderful man. And he said, you know, he wants to get out of here, too. So that's another story. But we did hire both of them, and both were tremendous contributors.
Yeah. No, I valued my time working with Joe, and I thought of him as a friend by the time we had worked together. He's a great guy. That first day, though, I was so terrified. I thought, oh, no, what's going to happen? What do I do? Like, why do you only have one pen, Adam? Of course, you're beating yourself up in that moment. And then the pen was just under the keyboard. All I had to do was lift it up and look the whole time, but I didn't think of that in the moment. This has been great chatting with
you
guys. We have, I think it's just under 2 minutes left. Keith Dagg, any final thoughts?
No, just keep up the good work. Listen to you guys every day. I love the fact that many years ago we started CFAX, and then we built it based on helping the community, and you guys are still right there, and that's what it's all about, the
great
community.
Seeing you. Mel, any final thoughts for now?
I would say that... when I came from CKNW, I had, you know, been involved with a community station. And I always said to myself, what we're going to have in Victoria is a community station.
Yep.
And it's all about community. Yeah. It's all about people. It's all about being a contributor to the good life we have in Victoria.
That's Mr. CFAX Mel Cooper and Keith Dagg speaking with Adam Sterling during the 60th anniversary broadcast.
This is CFAX 1070, Victoria's news authority.
We're looking back on 60 years at CFAX 1070. I'm Al Farabee, and we can't get too much further without hearing the voice of the great Joe Easingwood. As we dig back into some of the audio archives, here is some of what it sounded like during Joe's final radio broadcast, when he said goodbye to his listeners and hung up the microphone for the last time.
55 great years in radio is not achieved without the support of any number of competent workmates. I've been very lucky to have such great support as an operations manager, account executive, program manager, promotion manager, news director, beat reporter, talk show host, and editorial writer. Also, as publisher of the Joe's Notebooks Mel was talking about a few moments ago, Joe's Notebook Cookbooks, that raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for local charities, none of which could have been achieved without the constant and general love and support of my beautiful Dawn, my bride of 47 years. Thank you, sweetheart. I want to thank the many listeners, callers, and guests who have kept the show the most listened-to program in Victoria. Also, to our many loyal sponsors, including Ralph Mondell at Thrifty Foods, Bill Lang at the Princess Mary. Then there's Mel Cooper. You've heard from him, the original Mr. CFAX. Mel is the reason I'm still in the biz today. Back in 1981, I was ready to bail out of radio for a number of reasons. Over the course of several months, we talked, and he gave me a number of reasons to stay in the biz. Then one day, he presented me with an offer I couldn't refuse. It's a great relationship that still exists. Thank you, Mel Cooper. Thanks to you, the staff. You've been great workmates. In summing up my career, I leave you with this. I have lived through some good times. Some of them actually happened. So with apologies to Mark Twain, I wish you good morning.
Joe Easingwood, signing off for the last time in 2010. And we lost him 3 years later at the age of 75. And now for more voices from the past as we mark 60 years of CFAX 1070 this year. Dave Dixon, one-time talk show host, spent some time catching up with Ryan Price and dipping into the audio archive.
Some talk at you, he talks with you. Straight Talk. Dave Dixon, weekdays 1 to 3 on CFAX 1070.
Dave Dixon's here.
I am. It's that sound. I love it. He talks. No, he doesn't talk at you. He talks with you.
Yeah.
I love it. I didn't even come up with that, but I think
Straight
it's pretty
talk
accurate.
Talk Dave Dixon.
Love it. That's what I tell my friends.
It's nice to get you back on the radio.
I love it. I'm still interacting with people like we did on CFAX, and now I get to drive around and sell beer, so it's win-win.
Excellent. So when you think back at CFAX and the connection that you had to this radio station and the connection you had to our listeners, what do you think about?
Because I started off here in 2008 on The Buzz. It
right.
was a weekend nightly, a weekend talk show, 3 hours. I look back at that. Saturday, Sunday night, 6 to 9. That's a lot of content.
One of my first chances to host a talk show was that same show, guest hosting. Yeah, for those who remember, I'm remembering The Buzz. It was 6 to 9, both Saturday
both
and Sunday
Saturday,
night,
Sunday.
Live call-in radio. And if I'm not mistaken, you came into it in a funny way.
Yes, I did.
Can we tell the story? How you
Absolutely.
Got into radio?
Because
I love this story.
I'm probably one of the only people here that did not go to broadcasting school. I've got a degree at UVic in geography. But there was a gentleman, Rob Bullock, who was the host at the time. And
Of The Buzz on Saturday and
Buzz.
Sunday nights. Yep.
And we had a mutual contact, and put me in touch with him because I'm a huge sports guy, and Rob always liked to talk about local issues, including sports. Went on the show with him, and we hit it off and did it probably about 4 or 5 times. And then he phoned me one day because he had a full-time job, and he said, Dave, I'm moving to Vancouver. I've got another job. Would you still like to be part of the show? And I already had like 2 jobs at the time. I said, oh, absolutely. I never turned an opportunity. I'd love to be part of the show in any way. So Terry Spence gave me a call. I'll never forget. It was a Wednesday. And he called me down to the station. He said, oh, Rob said you do a really good job on the radio. Would you like to host the show?
And you're like, you were a bartender at the time, right?
I was bartending part-time. I was working for a payment processing company, like selling debit and credit card
And you
machines.
Get this call out of the blue. Would you like to be a talk radio
and
host?
I don't even know if he'd heard me on the air. Maybe he did. And this is a Wednesday. I'll never forget. And I don't turn down an opportunity. I said, yep, sure. He goes, great. You start Saturday. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I had to come up with guests like 3 hours, 2 nights a week.
Yep.
And I was phoning friends like a realtor or a mortgage broker or someone who wants to talk about sports, any subject under the sun. And no one was even down there to help. I just kind of was thrown into the deep end. That's how I learned. And then I did that for about a year and then ended up getting the daytime 1 to 3 slot. So that's, I don't know how many people have their radio, you know, initial experiences like I did, but that's pretty unique, I think.
I love the Dave Dixon story of how he ended up on the radio. I'm glad we got to tell that story here. Here's what I got, Dave. Do you want to stick around?
Of course.
Let's
I'm all
around.
Yours.
One of the things I've been doing is going back through some audio archives that we have of some just amusing moments of the past on CFAX. So if you don't mind, let's go through some of those moments.
Let's go down memory lane. Love it.
He puts the credible in incredible. Afternoons with Ryan Price on CFAX 1070.
You totally came up with that line.
No. Okay, can I just talk about what we're playing here? We've been digging into the audio archives. I'm sure everybody knows now if you've been listening. A lot of our news sounds, like the introduction to the news, to the weather, to the sports, traffic, business, they're all retro sound effects that we've used in the past. And I thought since I was getting this couple of hours, I'd dig into the little tiny 11-month-long bit of history where I hosted the afternoon drive show.
Yes. I remember. What year was that?
That was 2011 to 12, I think.
Yes.
Sort of. It straddled 11
when
and 12.
When I was there. Yeah, that's
around
right.
Around the same time you were there. And our program director at the time was a man that longtime listeners will know, Murray Langdon.
Of course.
Of local TV. And then eventually he was here at CFAX. He was a talk show host. He also was our program director.
Program director,
yeah. And
news I'm director,
pretty sure he created all of these absolutely ridiculous introductions for this afternoon drive show I did, including that one. And so I found them all and I brought them back. So they're just some of the revisiting the funny audio that we have from the past. And a lot of people have been digging it. I've been getting some notes. For instance, I got an email right now just simply titled Retro News from a man named Jay. He says, hey, notice you're playing old CFAX various sounds on air. Do you have any of the old school radio ads from such companies as Bullfrog Transmission with frog croaking or Parker Johnson from the 90s? Thanks from Jay. Jay, that's great. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I don't have those 2 ads, but I do have an old ad. So since you wrote Jay, I can't quite meet your request. But Dave, I got to play this for you.
Bring it on.
We were mentioning earlier that CFAX has a history that goes back to 1959. This is the 60 years. So I believe this is somewhere in the 60s, this ad. I can't quite be sure because there was no date on it, but that's my best guess.
We know it's not this century.
If anybody has any information on this place, by the way, feel free to give me a call and reminisce on the business in question. But let's just play this old audio.
Let's go to the Oasis. That's a familiar saying with Victorians who like good things to eat. The Oasis out on Jubilee Corner makes a specialty of new and interesting treats. They have electro-fried fish and chips to take out, just 20 cents an order. And are they delicious? The people at the Oasis take special care to wrap these fish and chips well to protect your car upholstery and your clothes. You can phone in your order to Garden 0005.
Oasis Fish and Chips at Jubilee Corner. I'm pretty sure that's near the old Turner Building.
Near the
Jubilee Hospital.
Yeah, it's that unique shape building.
Yeah, near there.
That's
I don't know if it was abandoned
for
it was somewhere
decades.
Near there. Electro-fried fish and chips for 20 cents, Dave Dixon.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go right now.
That's amazing. So
I think I could buy lunch for everybody in the building right now.
I know, yeah.
But at that price.
To our writer, Jay, I couldn't find the ones you requested, but I hope that scratched the itch for you, a little bit of some old ads from CFAX.
It's the 60th year of CFAX 1070, and we're looking back at the events and people that filled those years. I'm Al Faraby, with more to come.